Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. 1 hour from now, NBA playoffs are all set. I'll line up all the first round matchups. I'll put my opinions out there. Tape them, yell at me, scream at me. I'll line up all the first round playoff matchups in the NBA. They're all set. By the way, it took late into the night on the West Coast to get the Western Conference figured out. It's a crazy night. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. You know, when I was in my 20s, friends meant a lot. And I still have good friends. I have really, really good friends. I've had the same 7-8 people in my life for like 30 years. My parking garage is full. There's no spaces available. I got great friends. But I wouldn't jump in front of a car to save a friend. I would for a family. I'd tell my friend, you're going to get hit by a car. You're stupid. I'd jump in front of a car for my family to save my kids' lives. So would you if you have kids. Family over friends. My friends know that. They wouldn't jump in front of a car for me either if they got kids and a wife. Yesterday, LeBron chose friends over family. 3,000 miles, Laker house burning down, and all the young Lakers have to answer questions about LeBron. Magic quit, Genie's hiding, Pelinka, Luke Walton, who knows their futures. And I know all you young 20-year-olds were like, no, come on, man, he and D-Wade are tight. Yes, and that was a birthday party, not a funeral. It was a celebration that LeBron could have missed. In fact, he could have done both. He could have held a press conference in L.A. from his private jet. He's made $250 million in NBA salary alone and then flown to Brooklyn or fly to Brooklyn, get off a plane, and go live all over Los Angeles. But the house was burning last night. Fire in the basement. Flooding. One of your kids is sick. And LeBron chose 3,000 miles away in Brooklyn with a friend at a birthday party. D-Wade would have understood. D-Wade's grown up. D-Wade's an adult. Does LeBron get this? Does LeBron's guys, do they get this? The symbolism? The optics? LeBron with his superstar buddy. Hasn't that been the knock all year on LeBron? Hey, dude, you may want to put one of your teammates in one of these 38 projects. He's with his superstar buddies, disengaging once again. If I told my wife, if we had a crisis in my house, one of the kids was in the hospital. We just had police. We had a break-in. And I told my wife, I love you, baby. My friend's having a birthday party. We are tight. I'll get back. She would change the locks on the doors, and she should. Family over friends. And here's the big problem. LeBron considers D. Wade family, not the Lakers. So in LeBron's mind, he did choose family. And that's why this year has been an utter disaster. He has never committed to his teammates. He's never committed. And once he got hurt and was no longer playing with them for 3 hours a night, he had no relationship with any of them. Yesterday, they're all standing up there, the Kyle Kuzmas, the Lonzo Balls, the Josh Harts, the kids, and they're answering questions about LeBron James. Not right. Family over friends. Yesterday was a perfect moment for LeBron to swoop in, put on the Superman cape, and all the critics like me who have questioned his leadership, hold a press conference 20 minutes at LAX as you're getting on the jet. Call the local sportscasters. Call the local radio. Do live for 15 minutes and say, hey, I didn't come here just for Magic. I came here to win championships. I came here for the Laker fans. I came here for the brand. I came here for the community. I'm going to live here the rest of my life. We good here. Instead, I got a birthday party 3,000 miles away. Which, of course, Dwayne Wade would have totally understood. Because Dwayne Wade, one of the great things about him, he's always been about family first. Left briefly to Chicago, felt guilty, got right back. Family matters. But in LeBron's world, Chris Paul, Melo, D-Wade, their family. Lakers, these are my friends, kind of, you know. And that's why this has never worked. And that's why it will not work here unless LeBron puts his arms around young guys. Yesterday was a great example and a great opportunity for LeBron to talk about the future. And instead, he's 3,000 miles away celebrating the past. Isn't that been the problem all year? Remarkable. I mean, just by the way, I love D Wade. I used to love LeBron every day. You listened to me for 9 years. And I think Dwayne Wade's final game is awesome. It's great and should be celebrated. But yesterday was the biggest Laker crisis in maybe a decade. If for no other reason, the symbolism and the optics were terrible. And they could have easily been saved. Let me shift to this. A lot of good stuff today. Last night was the last game for Dirk and D-Wade. One of the things I love about sports, I love how it's gotten smarter over the last 10 years. Analytics. Now, I believe in manalytics and analytics. I want data. I want to be smarter. That's why Belichick remains the king. Nick Saban remains the king. Belichick's Andy Reid, Sean Payton. They believe in taking care of the guys, but analytics matter. Analytics are just data that makes it easier to win. Now, people will argue Dwayne Wade is the better player than Dirk Nowitzki, and I'm not interested in that argument. But I will tell you this. If they both entered the league today, you would draft Dirk Nowitzki, and he would be the better player. It is a shooter's league, and he is the only person on the planet you can even compare to Kevin Durant. Basketball has changed. It used to be about power. It used to be about intensity. It used to be about winning the rebounding battle. It used to be about toughness. Now, length and shooting and spacing. And the three greatest big shooters in league history are Larry Bird, Dirk Nowitzki, and Kevin Durant. If they came out today, by the way, this is why the process in Philadelphia, 6 years and one playoff series win, because they drafted a bunch of big guys and Ben Simmons that can't shoot. This is why Golden State's rebuild worked. They got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, then acquired Kevin Durant, all great shooters. It's why the Celtics rebuild has been better than the Sixers rebuild, because they got enough shooters, one or two. Sixers have really none that they've drafted. There's a college football player coming out in the draft. It works this way in all sports. His name is Noah Fant. He plays for Iowa. He's a tight end. 20 years ago, Noah Fant's a third, fourth, fifth round pick because he can't block. Now, Noah Fant's going to be a top 10, 12 pick. And mark my words, he's going to be an uncoverable monster in the NFL. He's too fast for linebackers and too big for corners and safeties. Noah Fant is going to eat the NFL up. I mean, like Gronk eat it up. He's going to be unstoppable. 10 years ago, you'd say he's skinny, can't block. Not a good enough blocker. By the way, in Major League Baseball, home runs, strikeouts, that's what it's about. Nobody cares about, like, average. Gary Sanchez is a catcher for the Yankees. Gary Sanchez is a lousy defensive catcher. But Gary Sanchez can hit. He jacks out about 35 a year. And why? Because analytics have changed. Because it's all about dingers. It's all about jacks. It's all about power. It's all about home runs. It's not about average. It's about knock it out of the park. So Gary Sanchez, 20 years ago, 20 years ago, your catcher had to be Johnny Bench. If he could hit, it was great. Tight ends had to be blockers first and then pass catchers. Now, forget about blocking. In the NBA today, Dirk Nowitzki in a second over D-Wade. Dirk Nowitzki is one of those guys who had a great career. It would have been significantly greater had he come into the NBA today. You'd have to take him over D-Wade. Now, D-Wade's more lovable and huggable, and he won titles with LeBron. He won titles with Shaq. We watched his college basketball career. So we loved D-Wade from the very beginning. Then he coupled up with Pat Riley. Had a lot to love about him. Plus, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Dirk played in Germany. We didn't watch him in high school. We didn't watch him in college. Dallas had a lot of bad teams, invisible. Marcellus Wiley talked about this yesterday on Speak for Yourself. Dirk over Wade if they came into the league today.
The thing is, as tough for Dwayne Wade is, someone already did what you did, MJ, and someone was doing what you're doing, Kobe. And then it's like, it's tougher to just say, I'm all in on you, Dwayne Wade, when I saw that and I'm seeing that. We didn't see Dirk before. We've never seen Dirk before. And I think because of that uniqueness, it kind of tilts it towards him.
Yeah. Everybody in the world today is trying to find Dirk Nowitzki. Every scout in the world is, anybody got a 7-footer who can hit threes better than our guards and is athletic? Dirk's the only thing on the planet that's ever been close to Kevin Durant. Now, he's not as good as Kevin Durant because he's not as good a defender and he's not as athletic. But today they came out, it's the same with Noah Fant in Iowa, it's the same with Gary Sanchez for the Yanks. Analytics has changed how the value of individuals. Dirk today coming out, my God. If he was coming out with Zion, ask yourself. There'd be people arguing for Dirk over Zion, and I'm not sure they're wrong. I'm not sure they're wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
They don't like me much in Ohio because I, unlike the rest of the American media and people, you know, with mostly a brain, do not think because Odell Beckham signed with the Browns and because they were 7-9 last year, they're going to take the NFL over. Zany, I think they're just collecting talent. They were 7-9 last year. I think they'll be about 9-7 this year as long as Odell Beckham stays healthy, but they've got a rookie head coach. And frankly, again, they're really good at skill positions. We'll see how it works out. They're in a division with really well-run organizations, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, who I think have a chance to both finish ahead of them. Baker Mayfield took a shot at me the other day. Very hurtful, very painful for me to endure. As I came out and said, nobody's going to be honest about Cleveland. This thing could be a dumpster fire. Baker Mayfield fired a shot, said, come to Cleveland and ask O if he actually likes it. Your source is full of BS, and while you're at it, come see if I'm a baby. What I said is, he's a kid. He's a baby. Second year in the league, he's very young, not like an infant. Very, very hurtful. Very, very painful. And then, you know, Cleveland's so gassed up now. I just can't get over themselves. I mean, they've already scheduled a Super Bowl parade. Yeah, a couple days ago, there was Fox Sports had a Twitter poll on the best fan base. So we put it out there. It's a Twitter poll. And you might as well have called this the most insecure fan base poll because the finalists were Tennessee and Cleveland. Insecure NFL fan bases who want everybody to think they're great fans. Neither is a top 10 fan base, in my opinion. Let me give you some images. Let's say with the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Cleveland Browns in terms of fan participation. The Pittsburgh Steelers lead the NFL in tickets sold for visiting teams. The terrible towel. Maybe you've seen it at Super Bowls, where they've literally turned Super Bowls, which are supposed to be neutral fields, into home field advantages for the Pittsburgh Steelers. No team in the NFL, it's almost collegiate, in fact it is, travels to as many road games as Steeler fans. Nobody's close in the NFL.
Steeler Nation.
Steeler Nation. By the way, several years ago, in San Diego, the Chargers hosted the Steelers. Philip Rivers, San Diego's quarterback, had to go to a silent count at home because there were so many Steeler fans in San Diego. There are images of Cleveland Brown fans, too. Empty seats, bags on their head, and a bunch of guys from Lima, Ohio, in the end zone wearing masks and barking about 9 Budweisers in. So I don't buy that Cleveland has the best fans. I think Cleveland has low self-esteem with its football franchise. So does Tennessee. So they rush to a Twitter poll and fill it out. If I had to list a top 10 fan base, and I would use a series of things to determine what it is. I think there are certain things that matter. Loyalty, size, are you willing to sit in crappy weather? Have you been loyal for 20 years? What is your impact? Do you literally change audibles? Do you force teams to play differently? Things that matter, loyalty, size, consistent support, impact. Here's the best, to me, the best fan bases in the NFL. Number one, Pittsburgh, and I'm not even sure it's close. The size is massive. They're willing to sit in crappy weather. It's one of the loudest stadiums. They've been loyal for 30-plus years. They travel better than anybody and turn Super Bowls into home field advantages. Steelers, number one. Number two is Green Bay. Now, again, massive national size, one of the louder stadiums. They're loyal for even bad teams. It's a loud stadium, not the loudest, not New Orleans or Seattle, but major impact. I'd say Philadelphia is the most underrated. They're third. It could be, after New Orleans, the loudest stadium in the NFL. The fan base is more regional than national, but, I mean, they had to put a jail in the bottom of their stadium. They get rowdy, they get loud, and it's an intimidating place to play. I'd put Denver 4. Again, because they're in the Rocky Mountains, nobody can even figure out the time zone. They have been filling stadiums forever. I grew up as a kid. The one place you didn't want my Seahawks to go was Denver. You couldn't hear. Unbelievably loyal fan base and a massive regional fan base. In the Rockies, they are the team of note. The Cowboys would be number 5. It's the largest fan base in the country, but they're not that loyal. It's kind of corporate. They go to a stadium and they're not that loud. When's the last time anybody went to Dallas and said, I can't hear in here? It's just so loud. It's not that loud, but it's massive in terms of size. I don't think it's loyal either. If the Cowboys stunk for 5 years, the crowds would shrink. I'd put Kansas City number 6. Loud. It's just not a very big fan base. It's in Kansas City. You don't see a lot of Kansas City Chiefs hats around the country. That size isn't very big, but it's one of the loudest stadiums. Arrowhead has loyal fan bases. Those people sit through hailstorms. They get the worst winter. Forget snow. They get hailstorms. They get lightning strikes, and they just sit there. I'd say the Saints are 7. Again, it's a small fan base. It's mostly regional. It's the loudest stadium in the NFL. It changes the way you have to attack the Saints when you go down in New Orleans. That's why nobody wants to go to New Orleans and play. It changes game plans. Loyal for the most part. They've had a little Cleveland in them where there were empty seats and bags on the heads. I would put number 8, Seattle, second loudest NFL stadium. They have something called the 12th man for a reason. The weather is also a big advantage. People sit through rain. I've been one of them. You don't see a lot of snow, but it's sopping wet for about 6 of those home games and raining sideways. I'd put Chicago at 9. Regional, national fan base. Some people will argue it's a little low, but I've seen empty seats through the years. But in terms of pregame, postgame, celebration, media coverage, intensity, and willingness to be in bad weather, plus it's soldiers loud. And number 10, I'd say Buffalo. To sit through all that bad football for most of the last 20 years, I just think you owe them the responsibility of being on this list. The parking lot stuff is legendary on the internet. Those are the 10 best fan bases in the National Football League. Tennessee's not in the top 20. And Cleveland, you got to give me a break. I know everybody's telling you Odell Beckham and 7-9 throw a parade Mardi Gras. Slow down a little, Cleveland. Slow down a little, Cleveland. We're not pretending you don't exist. We all just are considering your owner, your coach. We're considering your history, the youth of your quarterback, Odell Beckham's injury history. We're all just like pump the brakes a little. You don't, by the way, have the best team in your own division, nor do you have the best fan base.
They are very loyal.
I've seen a lot of empty seats. Seen a lot. I've
the
seen
ones
a lot.
That are there are very loyal. I mean, listen, I'm from Pittsburgh, so I have no reason to say anything nice about Cleveland, as I always tell you.
Can you imagine me tell my wife, listen, I cheated on you, but when I'm there, I'm loyal. You know, listen, I'm half the nights I sleep somewhere else. But, you know, when I'm home, you're the only one for me.
Who wants to go? It's Cleveland. Like, there's not that much going on. They're there. They go to games.
Not as much as
she. And to their credit, they have not put a good product out there for a very long time. No, and they're just excited that they have a quarterback have Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry.
Green Bay had 20 years of nothing. That place is that they're expanding their stadium now.
That poll, did the Cowboys get out of the first round of that poll? I mean, I know we're tough on the Cowboys, but the Cowboys have the biggest brand in all of sports.
Yeah, they have the biggest fan base, but it's very corporate. I don't think it's as loyal, and it's never – Dallas is not a loud stadium. It's a cool stadium.
Well, I wouldn't say that the environment there is vicious. Like, it's not an intimidating place to play.
Not Kansas City.
But I would say I think Cowboys fans probably need to be a little higher up because it is the biggest brand in all of sports. Like, not just
– Big.
The biggest brand in all of sports.
Yeah, big.
Any league.
Massive.
All over the world.
Gigantic.
No, literally it is.
No, I said there's. That's why I put them in the top 5. Their size is great. But loyalty, passion, intensity, impact.
I'm just glad that you recognize that Pittsburgh is the best. That's all.
I did.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Ah, heck, I'm going to do it. So I was thinking about this. I'm a big believer that if you struggle in life, it better prepares you for later in life.
Right.
Failure, obstacles. I mean, both of us, we haven't discussed this a lot, but I know enough about you, and your life wasn't perfect. You've had battles, and it's made you tough. You're tough. Somebody asked me about a couple years ago what I thought of Joy, and I said, Joy's tough.
No, thank you.
Joy's tough. She can handle herself. She's tough. And that's a big thing for me, because life's about, and I didn't have a perfect childhood, blah, blah, blah. It's interesting. Magic got a lot of heat right this year in basketball. He quit. I want you to think about this. Magic's basketball life. I don't want to talk about his personal life. I'm just talking basketball. High school All-American. Goes to Michigan State, wins a title. Number one pick. Joins Kareem in the Lakers, wins a title. It's been a lot of success. Not a lot of basketball court failures for Magic. LeBron got cut by his high school team. Last 2 years in college, didn't win. Got the you-know-what kicked out of him for 6 years in this league before he won. Had to make his way through two dynasties. Won, went to baseball, failed. Came back, won, then went to Washington, failed. And has struggled for Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, despite all the 6-for-6, has had nothing but obstacles to overcome. Michael gets laughed, mocked. We roll our eyes at his GM moves, at his ownership stuff. Magic's basketball life has been virtually a book. High school All-American, college title, number one pick, join Kareem, best brand. Not a lot of basketball court struggles. As great as Michael is, cut. 2 years in college, didn't win. Wasn't the number one pick. Had that chip on his shoulder. Third pick. Beat up, physically, mentally beat up. Coaches fired. Celtics beat him up. Pistons beat him up. Then he wins. Coach tries baseball. Sports Illustrated media laughs at him. Is that Magic's had such a great basketball success story. This failure as a coach and as a president, it's hard for him. I think it's hard. Basketball and Magic's just success, 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 success. Michael Jordan, despite his basketball success, man, there's a lot of failures in there. There's a lot of, you're not good enough. You can't beat them. You get knocked to the ground. You get drafted third. And it's just funny. I was driving to work today and I was thinking, man, if you wrote a book about just basketball, I'm not talking about personal life, just basketball. Magic's a story. Michael's career is a road. And there were a lot of potholes, and he overcame a lot of them and was told no a lot and lost a lot and beaten up a lot. And I think it's created this thing with Michael Jordan where he's got a real resilience running Charlotte. He's Michael's road is way tougher than you think in basketball. It's been way tougher than people think. And it's created a little bit of a nastiness with Michael, a toughness. I mean, I've known enough people, and I would tell Michael this to his face. His Hall of Fame speech was petty. It was like,
I told you, sometimes you got to wait all the way to the end to get him.
It's that Andy Dufresne line. Remember that Andy Dufresne line when he had to go through the tunnel to get out? That tunnel for Michael was a real thing. Here's Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech. Do you remember this?
And then there's Leroy Smith. Now, you got to think that's a myth. Leroy Smith was a guy, when I got cut, he made the team on the varsity team. And he's here tonight. He's still the same 6'7 guy. He's not any bigger. His game is about the same. But he started the whole process with me, because when he made the team and I didn't, I wanted to prove not just to Leroy Smith, not just to myself, but to the coach who actually picked Leroy over me. I wanted to make sure you understood, you made a mistake, dude.
And it's still part of Michael, all those failures.
It's so good.
I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, I think sometimes we forget, A, how great Magic was and how perfect it was.
His nickname is Magic.
He literally entered the NBA and they're like, who's your center? Kareem. I mean, Kareem was like the unstoppable force of the league. Jamal Wilkes. Then pretty soon, it's the Lakers. The Bulls were terrible when Jordan got there. They were terrible. They were a laughing stock.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Chris Broussard's upset with me because I had said earlier today there was a Twitter poll that had the Cleveland Brown fans as the number one fans in the NFL, and I said it was a Twitter poll, so what it really was is most insecure fan base.
Oh, stop
rushing
it.
To Twitter to say, we're the best, whereas Steeler fans are like, we're the best. We don't need to rush to a Twitter poll.
You know I represent the land.
The land.
I represent the land, all right? And I grew up an avid Steelers fan. Loved them. Steel Curtain, Lynn Swan, Franco Harris, all that. But Cleveland fans are terrific. Cleveland Browns fans are the best. The dog pound is out of this world. And here's the difference. You mentioned the Steelers. You mentioned Green Bay. Being a Steelers or a Packers fan is like dating the homecoming queen. Everybody wants to date her. She's beautiful. So, of course, you're there. You're loyal. You'll sit through the bad weather, wait for her outside while she's getting her makeup on and to take her out on a date. But being a Browns fan, that's like dating the ugliest girl on campus, and you sport her like a champ. You walk into the cafeteria arm in arm like you got the best-looking girl in the world. Who's more loyal in that scenario? The guy with the ugly girl. He doesn't care. He just loves her for who she is. That's the difference. We love the Browns for who they are in the land.
Can you get over the land thing?
I like the land. I think that's one of the freshest city names out there.
My whole life, it was never called the land. Like an hour ago, it's like suddenly it's the land. Who came up with that?
You know I got you. My scenario was great. You had to agree with
well,
that.
Well, I do. I think there's something to be said about fans. That's why I put Buffalo on the list. Because I do think there's something about sitting in lousy weather when your team's not very good. And Buffalo, outside of the Jim Kelly era, has not been very good.
But we didn't have a Jim Kelly era, though. Cleveland didn't have
Brian Seipman and Bernie Kosar era. I remember Brian Seipman as a kid. He's pretty good.
Cardiac kids and all that. Bernie. Yeah, we got close. Ernest Biner, the fumble and all that.
Yeah, the Jim Brown era. I wasn't around then, but anyway.
Yeah, that's.
All right, let's go. Before we get to the Laker stuff, I want to break down. I'm going to go playoffs. Let me do the Laker thing first. Let me do the Laker thing first because I want to get to something. I want you to offer clarity to the audience. Yesterday, I mean, I think LeBron should have said something. I think somebody should have said something. Nobody said anything. Nobody. That doesn't feel like a grown-up business.
No, look, LeBron, you're right. He should have spoken either after the game Tuesday night or early Wednesday
morning.
Say something. I agree. However, what's worse is that Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka didn't say anything. Who's running the organization? I've been talking to people around the league. When they showed up, what was it, Wednesday morning after this, nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew what to do. The Lakers are run like it's 1983. They're a mom and pop operation in a league full of corporations. They're behind in terms of scouting. They're behind in terms of analytics. They're behind in terms of all the technology. You would never think that because they're the glamorous Lakers, but they've been running on talent. When Shaq and Kobe were there, you know, they ran on the talent of those great players. And that's what they're still doing to this day. And here's, look, there are people that feel like Rob Pelinka orchestrated a coup to get Magic out of there. Okay? Because now obviously he couldn't force Magic to resign, but Magic referred to all the backbiting, the backstabbing.
That was clearly a shot at Pelinka.
No question. And it, throughout the organization, Rob would go all over. Where's Magic? Have you seen Magic? Magic's not here. And letting people know Magic's never around. Okay, so people, and that got to Magic. When you're Magic Johnson, you don't have to put up with backbiting and all that stuff. So Magic's out. The feeling is that Rob knows the Lakers are way behind the times. And so now that, we'll see if he ends up with the power. But now that he has the power, his plan is to get them back up to speed like a 2019 organization should be run. bring in a GM under him, probably a young, hot GM, because a lot of the older guys don't really like Rob and trust him and may not want to work for him. But bring in a young, hot GM, build up the infrastructure of the front office, just like all the other hot teams are, and then Rob will look like the genius. And that would work out for the Lakers because that's what they need. They could go other routes. We've all heard David Griffin. I think they got to sit down with David Griffin. But David Griffin will probably have to be the president and be able to do whatever he wants. He has LeBron's trust. He knows how to work with Rich Paul. And I'm not saying you don't turn the organization over to LeBron and Rich, but you do have to have their trust. So I think they should look at him. Obviously we threw out Jerry West and Masai Ujiri in Toronto, guys like that. But that is what a lot of people are thinking now. Rob, if he stays, he's going to build up this infrastructure the way it needs to be for modern day NBA basketball. Here's the other thing. Kobe Bryant doesn't want to be the president or the GM or anything like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But Kobe Bryant has Jeannie Buss's ear. Unlike very few people have. I mean, she essentially chose Kobe over Magic.
Oh.
Which is incredible, being how close her and Magic were. Magic, I believe when Magic and LeBron sat down for that three-hour meeting a few days ago, Magic was like, I want to get rid of Luke, and I want to get rid of Rob Pelinka. And then he went to Jeannie to talk about it. And Jeannie, as much as she wanted Luke, she would have let him do that. She was not going to let him get rid of Rob Pelinka. Why? Because of Kobe. So Kobe will always be behind the scenes. Not that he's trying necessarily to manipulate the situation, but she trusts Kobe. She loves Kobe. She's going to go to Kobe. What do you think about this trade? What do you think about hiring so-and-so? What do you think? And Kobe's going to have a say. The thing is, he's going to have a say removed from the day-to-day operations of what's going on in the league and the NBA. So he won't have the context to know all the other things going on, but he's just going to share his opinion. I don't know that anything's going to get done with the Lakers without Kobe kind of signing off on it and Jeannie thinking Kobe's with it. So they need to upgrade. They need to...
The mom and pop in a corporate world.
That's what they are.
That's what they are. All right, let's go through the playoffs real quick here. Let's start with the Western Conference. Warriors 1 seed against the Clippers 8 seed. No upset, right? Both shoot threes well.
No, Golden State.
Okay. Rockets, Jazz. Jazz are very efficient. May be the Boston of the West. Well-coached, rim protector. Can't shoot much. Rockets win.
The Jazz are scary because, as you say, a rim protector. So what does Houston do? Threes or at the rim?
Right.
The stuff at the rim is going to be tough. If they run Houston off the three-point line, like San Antonio's done in the past, run them off the three-point line and make them drive, they're not going to stop at 15 feet and pull up. They're going to go all the way to the rim, and then you got Rudy Gobert, the best rim protector in the league, right there. So they can be tough, but I'm going with Houston.
I just don't think the Jazz have enough shooters.
They're not ready, right.
Thunder Blazers. Thunder dominated the series. Westbrook get out of the first round. I think he does.
Yeah, I like the Thunder in this one. Just partly because I think the Thunder do have a lot of talent, obviously, even though they kind of ended the season in a spiral. And Portland's just banged, obviously.
C.J. McCollum had a knee injury. Yeah. He's back, not 100.
Yusef Nurkic is not there. So, yeah, they're going out again in the first
round. Nuggets can shoot, and they're deep, but their three best players have never been in the playoffs. Chance the Spurs upset the Nuggets?
I got the Spurs pulling off the upset, and probably in six, because it's going to be tough to go there in a game seven and win in Denver. But I think the Spurs – look – Jokic is probably the best player on the floor.
But then the next three,
are LaMarcus and Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. They obviously, as great as Mike Malone is as a coach, and he's second on my coach of the year ballot behind Mike Budenholzer, obviously Pop's got the edge. And the big thing is, as you said, experience. And in the playoffs, you need a guy that when all else fails can just break down the defense and get his offense off. Denver doesn't really have that type of guy, as good as Jokic is. So I like the Spurs for the upset.
Okay, so you got Warriors, Rockets, Thunder, Spurs over the Nuggets. All right, let's go to the East.
I'm going to tell you quickly. I got the Thunder upsetting San Antonio. Well, I don't know if it'd be an upset, but beating San Antonio in the next round, and Golden State OKC in the conference finals, Golden State winning.
OKC in the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
It'd be a shame to see them upset by Portland.
Westbrook is awesome.
Let's go to the East. He's very talented. Let's go to the East. Bucks, Pistons, apathy is the only roadblock for Milwaukee. This is a massive.
Right.
Blake Griffin, credit to Blake Griffin. I watched the Pistons play about 2 weeks ago. Blake's had a great year. So he's maybe the third best player in the East, fourth best player in the East.
He's had a great year.
He has had a very good year.
Blake is a great player. Blake is should be a Hall of Famer.
Blake is
a great player. But I think we're overstating it. He's in the East. They're the eighth seed. If you're that great in the East, you shouldn't be the eighth seed. That's all I'm saying. I think he's playing more. He's handling the ball. He's shooting threes more. It's nice, but, you know.
Celtics, Pacers. I think the Pacers, when they lost Victor Oladipo, played with a great deal of heart for about 6 weeks, and I think they've been sort of unveiled. They don't have enough shot makers.
Nah. It's Boston. But it'll be tough, but Boston.
Okay, Raptors over the Magic, not close, right?
Raptors.
Okay. Sixers players, Tobias, Simmons, Butler, Embiid. Embiid's hurt. Their best four players haven't played that many games together. I think the Sixers are vulnerable.
In the first round?
Do you know what you're going to get from Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons? Are you sure Embiid's not going to play this weekend?
They're beating Brooklyn. They're beating. Now, I agree. The fact that Embiid is questionable, that bothers you. But they'll beat Brooklyn. It might go six.
I think
and
it's
Brooklyn
be
is well coached, obviously, and they're a little
house
machine.
Little house money.
I get it. But none of them have been there either. And there's got to be, I don't care what they say, there's got to be a sense of, we had a great, we made it. You know, like, they're satisfied.
I get it.
And D'Angelo Russell's your leader, and he's had a great year, but I'll take Philly over.
I will too, but I think it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, if Embiid if this goes further.
They don't have a lot of shot makers.
No.
If Redick's not hitting.
The only thing, if Embiid's not there, and obviously they're not better without him, but you put Ben in the post even more, and Ben can score down there in the post.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it's probably a little better floor space, and everybody's more comfortable with Ben down there low, and you don't have to worry about Embiid on the three. So they'll get by them. But I'm picking Toronto over Milwaukee in the conference final.
What?
Because of experience. I hope I'm wrong. I'm pulling for Milwaukee. My two favorite teams in the East are Milwaukee and Philly. So I would love to see either of them.
Talent-wise, yes. I don't trust.
Those are my, like, I would love to see Milwaukee get to the finals because I think their length could really give Golden State some
problems.
Well,
they're a great rebounding and great defensive team with a star offensive player.
Exactly. And I think they shoot the three really well. They could give Golden State some problems, so I hope Milwaukee gets there, but they just have no experience at this level, and Toronto obviously has got great experience with Kawhi and Danny Green, so I'm going with Toronto to win the East. Hope I'm wrong.
Chris Broussard, good stuff, buddy. Good talking to you.
Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.